sounds like it's pretty awful what was done to the victim in this case from what I'm reading in this indictment. What's your response to it?
Yeah, I think it's a really horrific incident. It's one of the worst ones that we've seen in quite some time here in Oregon.
Do you think that the new bias crime law, the way it's been rewritten, is going to realistically help more victims in cases like these?
I think it is. I mean, one of the things that's being currently built into the system, I sit on the implementation committee for that law, is just getting more culturally specific and culturally informed organizations in a role where they can help these survivors. And so the Multnomah County DA's office has been really receptive in terms of like reaching out to us to see how we could support the survivor.
Have you reached out to the survivor in this particular case?
We're still working on connecting with them.
Okay. Unfortunately, it seems like these are all too common, right? These kind of assaults.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, what, a week or two ago that an African-American man was the target of a hate crime in Ontario, Oregon. We're just seeing marginalized groups be disproportionately targeted, both Jewish groups and Muslim groups. People of the non-dominant group here in the United States are also being targeted as well.
And, you know, even though Oregon has this reputation of being progressive, we see these instances of hate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the state needs to have way more growth when it comes to racial equity. And that's one of the pivotal issues that we consistently work on. And when we even advocated for hate crime reform, one of the things that we pointed out to both the legislature as well as others is that we need to educate better so that people understand the impact of hate and how dangerous it is to communities at a much younger level, so that we create the narrative and the culture that we want to be prevailing in our state.
In your work, you mentioned that you had actually been involved. Is this an advisory role in terms of this, the way the new bias crime law has implemented?
Yeah.
How do you do that, basically?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things that we've been working on. We've been figuring out, you know, what is the central hotline going to look like? How can we develop partnerships with community organizations between the Department of Justice and local law enforcement and local DA's offices with community organizations, how we can obtain better data, because we know that there's both bias crimes happening and then bias incidences, so incidences that don't rise to the level of a hate crime. So we just want to get a complete picture as to what people are dealing with, and then also figuring out, you know, how can law enforcement also be more receptive towards dealing with survivors? Because a critical distinguishing factor of bias crimes is that it impacts an entire community.
Sure. And, you know, in this case, this woman is saying that she no longer feels safe wearing her hijab. And that's such a terrible thing to even contemplate, that it's that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the pivotal tragedies of the situation. And I think critically, like, we need to be a state, and we also need to be a country that allows people to freely exercise their religion. And slowly what we are doing through acts of hate and through the rhetoric that is arising on a national level is that we're making people feel unwelcome. And Muslims, just like everybody else, just want to freely practice their religion. They want to freely commute to and from school, to and from work. Increasingly, we are finding that that is challenging.
Would you say things are going backward?
The Trump administration took power. It's just been kind of years of rhetoric that has enabled an environment for things like this to happen. Because we don't have a complete picture on the data, we don't know how bad it's truly getting. But when you have incidences like this, when somebody feels empowered to do this, to allegedly use somebody's hijab to then strangulate them, to cause them to be the victim of a hate crime, we didn't hear about them happening as significantly before, but now we're hearing these things happen all across the state, and it's an increasingly troublesome time. And especially for Muslim women, right? Like, they are choosing to wear a symbol of their faith through their dress. And when nuns do that, nobody bats an eye. But when Muslim women do it, it causes a scene for some people.
Yeah, that's really, really a good point you've touched on. Also, since it's the new year, I thought maybe we could talk about, you have some events coming up this year with CARE in Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. So on January 24th, so towards the end of this month, we're having our inaugural banquet. The first banquet we're ever holding, we're having Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib come out and give our keynote address. And the evening is really just about celebrating fighting hate crime reform, but also celebrating all of the successes that we've had on a civil rights level. There's a number of different causes and cases that we've been involved in, and just as much as just as important as it is to really focus in on fighting for these things, it's important to celebrate these things, and that's what we're going to be doing on that evening.
So if people want to participate in that or learn more about it, what can they do?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways. They can go to the CAIR Oregon Facebook page, that's C-A-I-R Oregon, and they can also go to our website, cairoregon.org, and the front cover of our website will take them immediately. Like they can click a link that'll take them directly to our banquet page.
And this is your first fundraiser of that type?
First ever fundraiser that we're hosting, yes.
Great. Well, congratulations. That's
Thank you.
Wonderful. How many people are members of CAIR Oregon?
I think we've got a couple hundred that are currently members. We're working to expand that as well through this banquet and through other means as well. So this should be an exciting night. Tickets are selling pretty quickly. So we would encourage the public that if you want to stand up for the civil rights of your Muslim community to get a ticket to this event. It's definitely going to be a powerful night. And a critical part of that night is honestly honoring, you know, the hate crime reform effort could not have been achieved without many survivors of hate crimes actually helping us in that advocacy. And so we're going to be honoring the accomplishments of those survivor families and really giving them a platform and a stage to really talk about what their experience has been like, but also the achievement has been really significant.
What message would you like to get out to our community about the impact of these kind of acts on the community and on women in particular?
This is deeply traumatizing for the Muslim community. You know, before or around the Mack stabbings a couple years ago, there were people at a Eugene mosque who were the victim of a hate crime. After that incident, we were told that Muslim women refused to go to the mosque because they were afraid of something else happening. And so when these situations happen, people become concerned. They become directly traumatized and vicariously traumatized by kind of viewing these events as to, like, can I go to the mosque? Can I pray? Can I, like, be Muslim? And that's the critical thing that I've been talking about with regards to culture, is that we have to create a culture within the state of Oregon where we accept people and we love people and we support people. And that can happen through any number of different acts. It could just be smiling at people as they're walking around. It could be supporting the various causes that, you know, Muslim women engage in. It could be supporting a civil rights organization like ours. But there's just a lot more support that is needed for the Muslim community in order for people to feel safe.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay.